As you're sitting down, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we're amazed, first of all, at who you are. You are the creator of all that we see, all that we don't see. Everything that we can comprehend by visual sight is all because of you, because of your creation and the way in which you formed the world that we live in. And Father, you created us. And we give you thanks. We give you praise. We thank you that you are the one that we can turn to when things are difficult, when things are hard, when there's things going on in our lives that are heavy, or maybe there's concerns or whatever it might be. God, we know that we can turn to you and we can give you our concerns. And we know that you hear our prayers. You hear the concerns of your people, and we're so thankful that you hear us, God. Even along those lines, we also know that you answer our prayers. God, you have done an amazing thing in this last week. Last week, we spent time praying over our dear friend, Ladd McGuigan, and his wife. And we are just so grateful that Ladd and Lorraine are under your care and in your righteous right hand, holding them up and being able to minister to them in right ways, God. Ladd was preparing for surgery, and Lord, it was a success, and he is back home after having heart surgery. And we give you praise for that, Lord. We give you praise that he is on the mend and that he is beginning to experience the changes from surgery and the healing that is going on. But Lord, will you still be with him in the process of healing? Help him to rest when he needs to and not overdo it so that he can fully recover and continue to just be well according to your plan. But God, thank you for giving doctors the wisdom and the knowledge that is needed in order to do surgery such as that. I thank you for giving doctors the wisdom in other areas that impact our lives as well. God, you are working behind the scenes in many people's lives. Right here, in this room, right now, through the care of doctors and through the work of your hand upon our bodies, healing us and doing life with us. So thank you for that, God. For those of us that are facing something that is coming down the road that we just need your continued wisdom, Lord, will you do that in us? We pray, Lord, that your hand of mercy would be upon each of us as we face tomorrow, because Lord, tomorrow is difficult in of itself, but we know who you are. We know your word, and your word tells us that you are good and that you are our Heavenly Father and that you are the one who has prepared the way for us and that you are the one who gave your son so that we might live when we have faith in you. And so we thank you for that, God. We're so very grateful. Continue to lead us and guide us. And Holy Spirit, fill us today. Be in our presence. And may we hear your truth spoken to us today in a unique way. Lord, have your way in us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to see everybody here today. Glad to be here with you. And I hope that your day has started out well and that everything seems to be going according to plan for you this day. It's another Sunday, another day that we get to come into the house of the Lord and worship. And I don't think there's anything better. Is there? I don't think so. Being together and worshiping God and serving one another and being the body of Christ, that is fantastic. And I'm so glad that we get to be a part of it together. We have a QR code. We'd love for you to utilize it at some point in time today. Utilize it. Let us know that you're here. If there's things that you need to find out, the QR code can help you with some of those things, prayer requests, things of that nature. But we just want you to be aware that we have that for you and would love for you to utilize it at any point in time. Couple of things that we want to just remind you about. First thing that it's not a reminder, but it's a you need to know because it's coming up really quickly. Next Sunday, we are having a fifth Sunday brunch right here in the sanctuary. Starts at 10 a.m. I know it's the last Sunday of June. I can't believe that we're already like into the end of June. That's just crazy talk. But it's fifth Sunday brunch. And so that means we would love it if you would join us. Bring something brunch-like to share, and then we'll have brunch together, and we'll do a little bit of an abbreviated service. It'll actually be a devotional and maybe a couple of songs, but we're still figuring out that. But it's going to be a different day. But what we are trying to accomplish on this particular fifth Sunday lunch is recognizing that summer is busy. Sometimes we just need to relax a little bit and be in community. And so that's what we're going to do next Sunday. And we would love it if you would join us. Even if you forget to prepare or bring something, show up anyways, because there's always plenty of food. So please be a part of that. It's going to be a great day. And I hope that you will put it on your calendar and make sure that you are here. The other thing we want to remind you about is that we've been talking about faith promise giving for the last couple of weeks. And today's the last Sunday that I'm going to be mentioning it, but faith promise giving is how we keep our missionaries in the area that they are serving, and our global partners missionaries in particular, and some of our other agencies that we serve in our community that we help fund and keep them supported. We are asking that if you would like to join us in this endeavor to help give to our missionaries and our teams that are serving across the world, this little blue card is how you do it. You get to write how much the Lord has put upon your heart, and then down at the bottom, just let us make note of that. You can tear it off, put it in the offering box. If you're looking for one of these, they are in one location, and that is out by the offering box just behind the sanctuary, and you can utilize that. We have it met and exceeded our goal. I think the last number that I heard was around $23,000 that has been committed to for this next year. And so that's fantastic. Thank you so very much, because what that does is it does a number of things. It keeps our missionaries in the field. It keeps us being able to support here, but it also helps us to support missionaries when they come off the field and they come to visit. We can take care of them. And then we can offer scholarships when we take mission trips, such as in a couple of weeks, even though our local mission trip is a lot different and it's not as expensive as going to Guatemala or some other mission opportunities that we have. It helps us to support those that are going. And so thank you so much for doing that. Speaking of the local mission trip opportunity, got one reminder for you and then a request. The first reminder is that we still have a couple of tags that are on the board just outside of the sanctuary that if you would like to take one of those tags and purchase whatever item is and bring it back to the church by July 6th, that would be great. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Andrea Brown will be available after the service, and you can talk to her about fulfilling those particular tags. So that's going to be happening. The other thing I want to just request of you is prayer. I would really just ask that over the next couple of weeks, you would begin praying for our mission trip. We have six teens from our church that are going to be living here for a whole week. I know that sounds crazy, but they are going to be living here. We have at least seven or eight people coming from Wisconsin that are going to be joining us for the week as well. And so we're going to have around 20 or so people, teens and adults, that are going to be here serving our community. And we need you to be praying for us. One, we need to hear from the Lord. Because God wants to do amazing things, not just in our lives, but in the lives of teenagers and the lives of the people that we'll be serving. So if you would be praying for us in that, pray for our safety. Pray that it's not blistering hot, okay? I'm just kidding. That would be nice, but the weather is what the weather is. God can control that. He can make sure that it's a nice week for us. I believe that. But more than anything, pray that God would work in the lives of our people, our kids, our teens, and those that come from Wisconsin, because God wants to do something. I believe it. Maybe he wants to call one of these kids or these teens to serve him full time for the rest of their lives. Who knows? God has plans. So let's be praying for that. Two other things. These are two volunteer opportunities. One is, let's see, the mowing crew. That is not the type of mower that we have, but we have opportunities for you to serve. It's taking time to mow our property because we have a nice property and we've got lots of grass. And if we don't take care of it, the city doesn't like that. So let's take care of our place, our responsibility, and we would love for you to sign up to mow. They're John Deere mowers. They're fantastic. So you can partner up with someone. We have a sign-up sheet in the kitchen, and you can sign up to be a part of the mowing crew. The other thing is that we have planted our garden. Things are in, and we're watering and weeding and taking care of the garden, getting ready to harvest when those things get ready, whenever that happens. I don't have a clue. I can look at a plant and say, that looks like a tomato. Those are the easy ones. It's all the other stuff. I don't have a clue. But we would love it if you might be willing to take a week this summer, be willing to water, weed, and any harvesting that is necessary. Check your calendars. See what time you have available this summer between now till we actually were harvesting all the way into October this last summer because we had such a great harvest. And so if you want to join in, there's a sign-up sheet in the kitchen window. And you can do that today. All right. I think that is all that I have for announcements. Let's take a quick moment and just ask God to speak to us today. Father, your word is powerful. Your word is good. And I pray, Lord, that as we look at your scripture and we look at different passages, that they will speak to us and guide us, that they will enlighten our minds and our hearts for what you want to do in us and through us. And we pray this in your son's name. Amen. So maybe this is you. Maybe this was you as a kid, or maybe this was you as an adult and a parent, but you maybe were taken by the hand by grandma or mom, or you were the one who is taking your child by the hand and leading them to a door frame and measuring where they hit in the door frame. Do anybody do any of that? You marked up the door frame with heights or not as many as I was expecting. I texted my mom this week to say, hey, mom, I don't remember this, but did we do this? Did we get taken to the doorway and you marked us and told us how tall we were or how short we were? And my mom actually texted and said, no, I'm a horrible parent. And I said, no, that's not it. That's not at all. But do you remember that? Did that happen to you? Because that's kind of a cool thing. It's kind of nice to step away and see how much you didn't grow this last year or how much you did grow or whatever it might be. That would have been the case. I know that my brothers and I did that secretly down in the basement. We had some of that paneling down there that was... It was not the coolest wood paneling, but it was fake wood, and it was dark. And so, if we used a pencil, mom and dad couldn't see it. But anyways, I know that we did something like that. We probably did other artwork, but the idea was that you're measuring growth. You're measuring how much you grew. And it's amazing when you're dealing with kids, especially how much they grow from year to year. What if we did some of that in our lives? Are there other areas of our lives that we would measure our growth in that way? I don't know if there are other areas where we'd say, you know what, I want to back up to the door frame and measure that particular area of my life. Makes me wonder, what would it look like if we did that with our spiritual lives? How would we identify how we grew or how we didn't grow? What I would be afraid of is that we would start comparing. We'd compare us to other people, especially if we did that like down the hallway. We'd say, wow, look at how far I grew this week or how much I grew. And then somebody else would step up and we'd be like, ooh, how did they grow more than I did? That would be bad, wouldn't it? That wouldn't be the type of measuring we might want to accomplish. But there is a huge desire for growth. Huge desire. In every aspect of life, there's huge desires for growth. Growth in your career, growth in your profession, growth in your maturity. Eventually we all want to recognize that we're maturing and we're growing up and we're doing life a little bit differently. We go to conferences for our work so that we would grow in the areas of our work, don't we? We read books. You ever read a book to just grow in a particular area of life? Absolutely. I do it all the time. You do as well. We encourage our kids to grow and to do different things. But what if, spiritually speaking, growth might not be the most important thing? That growth might not be the overall goal. What if the goal is not to grow, but to know? What's the difference between knowing and growing, spiritually speaking? Hold on to that for just a second, okay? What's the difference between growing and knowing in our spiritual lives? Growing tends to put you and I in the driver's seat. And we begin to justify what we're doing or what we're not doing. We're justifying the things that we do in order to grow. When something is done well and we do good, we say, that felt good, so I will do more of that. Or when we mess up, when we fall short of our goal, we justify and we say, well, I'm not perfect. I'm only human. We all mess up. I'm on a journey. And that's true, isn't it? It is true. I'm human, you're human, we're all human. We all mess up, we all fall short of the goal, we fall short of God's glory. But when we focus only on growing, guess who we're putting in the center? Me. You. Putting ourselves in the center instead of putting God in the center. And knowing to grow or knowing God first puts God at the center of everything. And it puts us in an opportunity to live in a state of knowing God first. And he begins to do all the work. He begins to be active. And we begin to live in a place where we are walking by faith, not by sight, where we are recognizing that perfection is not ours, but God has called us to be holy as he is holy, and that we are reminded that we've been raised with Christ into a new nature, into a new heart. So this is what I want to talk about today. coming back to our theme for the last week and for 2 weeks from now, we're talking about the playground, and today we're talking about a fruitful life. What does it mean to have a fruitful life? One of the best things that I love about playgrounds is that not only is it just fun, but a lot of good things happen at a playground. Kids get to use their imagination. They get to make the rules for the games that they play or whatever it might be, but it is about just living. And I want to help you, help us make some insight and some headway when it comes to knowing God versus growing. Knowing God to grow versus growing to know. That's where we want to spend some time together today. And I know that I spent some time over the last couple of weeks talking about John 15, but that's where we're going to start today, because John 15 really unpacks some really important ideas for us as we talk about knowing to grow. John 15, 1 says this: "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, so that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So this passage of scripture is powerful, and I want to point out just a couple of things. And then we're going to talk about four different ways that if we do these things, that will help us to know God in order to grow, instead of growing to knowing. And I hope you understand the difference there. God, first of all, in this passage of scripture, he is the gardener. He is the one that is in charge of the vineyard that is being referenced here, and he does two things. He cuts and he prunes. What is cutting all about? When a branch doesn't bear fruit, the gardener comes along and says, that branch isn't doing what it's supposed to do. There is no evidence of growth, so let's cut that off, so that the rest of it can grow. But if a branch is growing, or a part of the vine is growing, what does the gardener do then? He prunes back different pieces of it so that it will be more fruitful. I've learned a little bit about gardening. Not a ton, but our friends, Avery and Mara Thompson, a couple of years ago, we actually bought a couple of plants from them when they were selling them at this, it was the one of the Marion Farmers Market or thingies, you know. They were selling plants. And it was a little entrepreneurial thing, and we showed up and we saw Mara and Avery, and we're like, okay, we're going to buy some plants. And they were telling us all about them, and they continue to be our source of info when it comes to these particular plants. And I asked them questions about it, and I'm learning that if one particular plant, you can actually break a portion of it off and trim back a little bit of the leaves and then stick it back in the dirt, and it will grow. And I'm like, that is super cool. I didn't know that. So I'm learning, and I continue to practice this idea of pruning, that when a portion of this vine continues to grow and get bigger, I grab a portion of it, break it off, pull back some of the leaves, and then boom, plop it right back in the dirt. And it grows most of the time. And I'm like, this is amazing. How does that happen? But God is good, and the plant continues to grow, and it's not dead. And I'm excited about it because it's a cool looking plant. But that's what God does as the gardener in our lives. The things that are not growing, cuts them off. The things that are, he prunes so that it becomes more fruitful. And that can be done in a lot of different things, a lot of different areas. Our job is two things. Our job is to remain connected, to abide in God. And we talked about that at a greater length a couple of weeks ago, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. But the idea is that we can't be fruitful if we don't remain in the vine. We can't be fruitful if we are not connected to Jesus. And he tells us, apart from him, we can do nothing. And to know him, to know Jesus, is to grow. To know Jesus is to grow. And my hope is that you want to know him. Know him, so that you can grow. Four things that I think if we decide to do, it'll help us to know him deeper. First thought is this, is I must cultivate deep, deep roots. One of my favorite passages of scripture is in Psalm chapter 1. And it talks specifically about a tree being planted to the river, near the river, so that its roots can grow deep into the ground and access the water that is from that river. Jeremiah catches on to this same type of topic in Jeremiah 17, 8 and 9. He says, they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? But the idea is that a tree that is planted near a water source, it continues to bear fruit throughout all the difficulties, throughout all the calamities, throughout all the harshest weather, it continues to flourish and to grow. Now that sounds pretty amazing, doesn't it? It sounds like, wow, if we can just be planted near streams of water, everything will be good. But things are difficult, aren't they? Just not too long ago, we had that huge, huge fire out in Hawaii that ravaged massive areas of land in Hawaii on the islands. And you know what one of the trees that will do well in that area is? Banana trees. I think they probably have banana trees there. I'm guessing it's a tropical type of thing, right? But banana trees are practically indestructible. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Banana trees are one of the trees that are basically indestructible. You cut them down, they will grow back. You plow them over, they will grow back. And the reason is because of their roots. They get deep into the soil. They do what they're supposed to do. They're designed to do, to get down deep so that they can get all the nutrients, all the water in order for them to grow. The only thing that you can actually burn them, you can cut them down, you can do all kinds of stuff to them, but if you dig them up and then take them out of the ground, then they won't, obviously, because they're not connected. Come on, you're with me, right? Whew. But that's the idea. That's the idea. Colossians 2, 6 through 7 says this, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness, rooted deep into the ground with God. Did you know that plants that don't have a root, what they're called? Tumbleweeds. Tumbleweeds. And what do tumbleweeds, have you ever seen a tumbleweed? I hope that you've seen a tumbleweed. They can be small, they can be massive, and they kind of grow around and into themselves. And when the wind blows, they go along with the wind. Growing up in southern Colorado, we had tumbleweeds. And they were prickly and harsh, and they would go from one place to the next. But the idea is that something that doesn't have roots, it just ends up being blown away. We don't want to be like a tumbleweed. We want to go deep into the ground. We want to bear fruit. We want to be able to be fruitful because we're growing in our relationship because we know God. And when we know God, what he does in us is that he provides the nourishment, the strength in order for us to grow. But we have to have deep roots knowing him. We read the Bible not to grow. We read the Bible to know him so that we might grow. We do our daily devotion so that we can grow as we're knowing. So we know in order to grow. The second thing that we need to do is that we need to eliminate the weeds. Eliminate the weeds. Have you ever noticed something about weeds that you don't have to plant them? You don't have to plant them. They just show up. You don't have to water them. I don't know why it is that weeds are the way that they are, but you don't have to water them. They just grow no matter what. You don't have to feed them. You don't have to nourish them. You don't have to tend to them. They just grow. And they don't even have to grow with a lot of dirt. Have you ever noticed that? If you look, they're out there in the parking lot sometimes. They're out there in the rocks, and there's no dirt in those rocks. I've got a lot of rock around our house where we have put in to make it nice and landscaped and all that fun stuff. And we put the weed barrier down so that weeds don't grow up. Guess who finds their way to grow? The weeds do, and they don't even get through the weed barrier. They're just sitting there with like five pebbles of dirt, and they grow. They're horrible. But you don't have to cultivate and grow weeds, but you have to eliminate them. You have to eliminate them in your life. And Mark chapter 4 tells us, and in a passage of scripture that Jesus is talking about in Mark 4, he tells a parable, and he says, as he began by the lake to teach, the crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said this: listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. Did you see that? Fell on rocky places. We know all about that. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, sometime 100 times. Four soils. Four soils, four responses, four states of heart. And if you notice, what Jesus is talking about is that in each of these states, each of these soils, each of these responses, only one of them bears fruit. Only one of them bears fruit. And the weeds crowd out the seeds, the rock crowds out the seeds, doesn't allow it to happen, doesn't allow it to get deep into it. And a crowded heart is exactly what leads to weeds in our lives. A crowded heart. And weeds are things that help distract us in our lives. What are some weeds that are distractions in your lives? It makes us think that we don't have time. It makes us think that we don't have enough margin in our lives. It makes us think that we don't, that we're not good enough. It makes us think that we don't know enough. And these types of weeds are the things that choke out our ability to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can know God and grow and serve in the kingdom. So we've got to eliminate the weeds. We've got to get rid of the things that are a distraction. We've got to get rid of the things that are going to hold us back from doing what God has called us to do. So eliminate the weeds. Jesus also tells a story in Luke 14. I didn't get the passage because I'm not necessarily reading you the passage, but the idea is in Luke 14, Jesus tells a parable about a great banquet. And at this banquet, what he is preparing is the meal in order for everyone to be filled and be full and to enjoy the banquet. So he sends out a messenger and says, hey, my master is going to have a banquet. And when we're prepared, we'll let you know, but be ready. And everybody's ready and pumped and excited to go to this banquet because we all like to go to banquets and have food and enjoy and party with one another in a, you know, church type of way. And so everybody is aware that there is a banquet that is going to happen. Well, the banquet is ready, and the master sends out his servant one more time and says, go and get the people and bring them back for the banquet, and we will enjoy the banquet. And as the servant goes out, he goes to one place, and they say, oh, you know what? I just bought a piece of property, and I need to go look at it. Please excuse me. I'm not going to go to the banquet. And so then he goes to the next person and they say, oh, you know what? I just bought some oxen and I wouldn't really want to try it out. And I really want to take them out for a test drive out in the field and do the plowing. And so please excuse me. I'm not going to be doing that. The next person that they go to, oh, you know what? I just got married. And no, we can't make it, you know, honeymoon or whatever, I don't know. And so they can't make it, and excuse after excuse after excuse. And unfortunately, the things that are crowding out the fruit or the seed that is to be growing in our lives many times are the excuses that we make to hold us back. Let's drown those out. Let's get rid of them. Let's really let go of the excuses. Let's get rid of the weeds so that we can do what God has called us to do. The word of God is not a suggestion. It's not. So the question that I have for you is, what weeds do you need to eliminate? If we want to know God and grow, what excuses do we need to get rid of in order for us to actually do that? Second or third thought is this, is I must cooperate with God. And John 15 talks about the word remain, or I like the translation where it says abide. 8 times in this passage of scripture, it says abide, it says remain, stay connected, be a part of it. And that's what cooperation insinuates, that there is a connection, that we are falling in line to him who is in charge, to the one who is leading our lives, the one that created us. We are cooperating and we are abiding and we are connecting. And our God is called Father for a reason. He calls the shots. He's the one who's in charge. And our job is to follow, cooperate, abide. He's the one who has the pruning shears in hand. And one way or another, there will be some type of trimming, some type of cutting that is done. Because he wants us to know him. And he wants to get rid of the things in our lives that prohibit us from knowing him. And something that I want to communicate to you is that pruning is not punishment. Pruning in our lives is not punishment. It's for our benefit. Hebrews 12 says, in your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten his word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we have respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. There's a lot going on in this passage, and I recognize that. But something that I want you to catch is that discipline is a part of the pruning process. In order for us to be pruned, something has to be taken off. And sometimes it is painful. Sometimes we have to have a little bit of pruning in order for us to grow. It's like a father, a parent, a mom that disciplines for their children to grow. We've all experienced it. And the biggest thing that we can do is trust. Trust that God has our best interest in mind. And that's where cooperation comes in. Our ability to abide and remain and know that God has a plan, that God is going to work his plan, and we get to be a part of it. Even if we don't know exactly, even if we don't know all the details, we can trust that God is leading, God is guiding. I know it's hard, but when you were a kid, you didn't know the whole plan. You didn't know how you were going to get from point A to point B. You just wanted to play because that's where life was lived. Last thought is this. I must patiently wait God's harvest. Nobody likes to wait. Who likes to sit at a red light? Nobody does. You don't like to stand in line at Chick-fil-A to get your food. You order it online so that when you show up, it just magically appears. Whatever it might be, those chicken nuggies or the sandwich or whatever it might be, you just order it online so there it appears and comes out of the blue. Or you have DoorDash bring it to you because you don't want to get in the car and go sit in line. Now they make everything so easy for you. I saw it the other day. Lucas and I were getting some food, and I decided that we're going to go eat Chick-fil-A. I think we were getting Andrea. We were having a team meeting for the mission trip. And so we went to get some lunch and all of that. And so I didn't order online. The line for the drive-thru was like 17 cars deep, which is typical at Chick-fil-A, right? And the only day they're not busy is Sunday. And and so I did the thing is I backed up, found a parking spot at Red Lobster, because it was lunchtime. Nobody goes to, there are people at Red Lobster at lunch, but they just weren't very busy that day. It was a Monday. Don't blame them. And so then I parked and I went in and I just walked right up to the counter because there was like a person in line. How awesome was that? What I noticed is that everybody was already ordering their things on the app because they just walked in the door and grabbed their food. And I was the person that was like, you're a newbie and you didn't know what you were doing, didn't do the mobile ordering, and went through the drive-thru. Nobody wants to wait anymore. That's crazy. But waiting is so important in our spiritual lives. Nothing that we do in life that has lasting value happens overnight. We consider waiting to be painful. We don't even want to wait to purchase our food at the grocery store. We'll go to the self-serve section so that we can do it ourselves. We bought into the lie that I shouldn't have to wait. We bought into the lie that we have so much to do, we can't possibly wait for something to happen. We can't possibly wait a few extra minutes. We have bought into the lie that we have so much to do that is more important, and we have fallen into these lies. But waiting and knowing that God has something big planned, knowing that God has something that is going to be beneficial for our lives when we know Him and we are growing in Him, because He is working behind the scenes, but we're in such a hurry, such a rush, and not willing to wait. But Isaiah 40, 28 through 31 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." A harvest is not produced overnight. Fruitfulness is not done in a moment. It takes time. Our garden was planted back in May. It's only June. We have to wait. We might be able to show up to the grocery store and get all the fruits and vegetables that we can get our hands on, but it took months for that to bear fruit and to be harvested. There's a story that I heard about where there was an archaeological dig that was happening here in the United States, and the archaeologists came across a mummified indigenous person, mummified and preserved extremely well. And on the neck of the mummified person was a necklace with seed on it. Even though mummified, the seed was put into the ground, and guess what happened? It grew. Over 200 years old, this mummified Native American, they guessed that it was 200 years old, and it still bore fruit. Your my ability to be patient and wait for God, the better that we do it, the more that God might work in us if we're patient and waiting. But we can only do that when we know Him. Hebrews 12 talks about the great heroes of faith. Hebrews 11, excuse me, talks about the great heroes of faith. Enoch, who walked with God and was no more. May that be our heart desire, that we walk with God so much that He is like an old friend. Noah, who spent over 100 years building a boat in the desert that made no sense. Abraham, 90 some years old waiting for a child. It would be 2,000 years before the promise of the Messiah that was mentioned back in Abraham's day even came to fruition. Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, and Rahab, all of these people waited for what the Lord was going to do. Years upon years, waiting. Verses 39 and 40 in chapter 11 says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together we would be made perfect. They were commended for their faith, their long enduring patience. And you know what? I hope that you're understanding that in all of this, in order for us to know, in order for us to live a fruitful life, we have to be patient and let God's harvest take place. We have to be willing to cooperate with God. We have to be willing to eliminate the things that are distracting us or stopping us from knowing God. And we also need to cultivate deep roots in order for us to know so that we can grow. My challenge in all of this, and I know that I'm struggling every now and then with the words because I'm learning this tweak in my own language about knowing and growing, because I think our heart needs to know him most and first instead of just thinking about the growth. We need to know him, knowing him. And because he lives, we can face whatever happens. We're going to sing that great song that is, "All because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives." Let's pray and we'll prepare our hearts to sing. Father, oh, Father, we're thinking about all of this today. And we could really do a lot of soul searching today. But our one desire is to know you. To know you, to have a fruitful life. Not for the success of the world, but to know you and to trust you and to follow you and be available for the call that you have on our lives. To not be distracted. To not be so overwhelmed with the worries of the world that we forget what really matters most, and that is you. And so, God, I pray that you would take all that we have heard today to heart. Teach us and show us, God, that you are the source of all things. That in you, abiding in you, remaining in you, staying connected to you is more important than anything else. And I pray, Father, that that would be where we find ourselves today, where we would have a heart that wants to know you. And when we have a heart that knows you, you will do the miraculous and grow us up in you. God, do that in us today. We pray this in your Son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us in worship today. Just a joy to be with you. I want to invite you to stand and we'll close our time together in worship.